Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you subscribe this week, you still have a chance to get my New Year's resolutions, which many of you have written me to thank me for, that you say that they have helped you, and it really makes me happy. You still have time to get that this week if you subscribe before Sunday. And then on the newsletter coming up, we'll have my 2004 predictions and the coverage, the summary of how I did in my predictions for 2003. And I'll give you a little bit of a hint. Pretty darn good. Let me introduce you to a new friend. His name is Sean Doyle. He's principal with Fitzmartin Marketing out of Birmingham, Alabama. It's a B2B business firm that specializes in marketing, helping companies put their best foot forward in the marketplace. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. We're going to look forward to looking at next year. And,
yeah.
Helping with those resolutions. I hope in a year we can look back and say that this 30 minutes was very accurate, too.
Well, I hope so, too. And speaking of 2004, one of the things that I really would like to do and that I encourage my people to do in the resolutions is to focus on penetrating the market more effectively in 2004. And that's one of the things that you do with your firm, especially with the business-to-business work. And it's there are so many different ways that we can penetrate the market, but I think maybe a lot of small business owners are a little, I won't say confused, but maybe they just don't completely understand what it takes and what it means to actually penetrate the market successfully, to actually get your message out there successfully so that people not only know about you, but they're compelled to actually find out more about you and maybe even do business with you.
I agree 100%. I think one thing I saw a lot with my clients last year and some prospects was the classic excuse that we've heard for the last 3 years, and that's, oh, the economy's bad.
Yeah.
And that's nothing more than an excuse. It's, people did well. I think people are starting to turn the corner. Our business personally was up about 20% this year, and I think a lot of our clients, I know a lot of our clients' business was up. So I think the first thing we got to do is get rid of the excuse of the economy, start taking responsibility, and then make some action. I think a classic way to think is that results are based on activity.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So this can be a year that you change your thinking.
One thing, Sean, I'd like to point out is with the excuse you gave about, you know, the economy's bad. Two things, folks. Number one, you don't get to weld your mailbox shut and put a sign on it to the mailman that says the economy's bad, no more bills. You can't cash that at the grocery store, and your banker doesn't want to hear that. So whether the economy is bad or not, you still, if you're going to be in business, you got to do business. That's number
Absolutely.
One. Number two, that excuse won't cut it anymore because the economy's not bad. It's pretty darn good right now, and it's getting better.
I agree entirely. I think it would be worth spending a little bit of time talking about the basics. A lot of people right now are, in fact, my bookkeeper just walked in a little bit early today, and she's wrapping up our year, and we're looking at numbers, and there's probably two possibilities out there. You're either satisfied with your last year or discouraged. And for those who are discouraged or think that they could do better than they did last year, I think the old basics rule comes back. It's going to sound a little bit like a basketball coach at a junior high camp in the summer, but it's reality. I think that the number one basic that most people forget is just to communicate simply. We challenge all of our clients in any time they do any kind of communications, whether it's a letter or an advertisement, website, whatever they do, is to ask a simple question, and that's the question of so what. And somebody besides the author should answer the so what question. Everything in marketing communications should be able to answer that. It's a great challenge. I'd say anybody that has the opportunity to right now, pick up an advertisement, look at it, and ask the so what. Most likely, you will not be able to answer it.
But you're saying with any given entry or statement or point, any bullet that might be in an ad or anything that we offer our customers, to challenge each one of those with a so what.
Absolutely. And if you can't answer it, you've got to remember to answer it, and this is a huge difference. You've got to change your perspective, not from your perspective. Mm-hmm. Every business owner has so what. They'll talk about technology is a wonderful example of this. In the world of technology, people will put an advertisement out and talk about the 2 gigahertz speed increase over the with the gold-plated
right.
tips or whatever. Well, that's a technologist talking to a technologist. The consumer out there wants to know, is it going to crash?
Right.
Can I count on it? Can I have my money back if I hate it?
The difference between the 1.3 gigahertz unit that you've got and the 2.5 that you're coveting means that your spreadsheet will calculate at 3 nanoseconds quicker.
That's right.
So anybody who can tell me how long it takes for 3 nanoseconds to happen, then I'll buy you a new computer.
That's right. No one needs a spreadsheet that fast. I would say just off the cuff, about 80% of most people's marketing communications could be thrown away. Just absolutely pointless.
80%.
Absolutely.
You mean all these genius little compelling cute little things that I come up with to go on my advertising? You mean 80% of that is junk?
Yep.
You're hurting my feelings now,
well,
Sean.
Yeah, it's kind of like the doctor, right? You didn't pay me to tell you what you wanted to hear.
That's right.
But what
and if I want a second opinion, I'm ugly too, right?
Face for radio.
That's right. That's right.
I think another definition along basics. I think we could talk about the difference between advertising and marketing and sales. Advertising is Bill Birnbach, it's a classic name in advertising and marketing. And he says advertising does something and a brand is something.
Say that again.
Advertising does something. A brand is something.
Now, folks, you know when we repeat things, that means it's going to be on the test. Go ahead, Sean.
The key to that is most people have a business problem. A vast majority of people that come to talk to me start off by saying they have an advertising problem. But what they have is a business problem. Advertising is just a tool. It's mm-hmm. advertising is designed to garner attention, to mm-hmm. draw someone to come to a website, to come to a store, to take a sales call.
Marketing. Sean, hold that thought for a second. We're going to come back, folks. This is really important stuff here, and we're going to continue this discussion with our new friend, Sean Doyle, with Fitzmartin Marketing. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Little Steely Dan for you this morning. 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our new friend, Sean Doyle, who's a principal with Fitzmartin Marketing out of beautiful downtown Birmingham, Alabama. Sean, give us your website, please.
It's fitzmartin.com, FITZMARTIN.
Tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Well, you'll find a variety of shameless self-promotion. As well as a good library, some white papers.
And we can get to those for free?
Absolutely.
All right.
We even promised no junk mail to follow it.
All right, we appreciate that. And but now you work, even though you're located in Birmingham, Alabama, you work with people out of your area, right? You have people in
Absolutely.
Other parts of the world.
We primarily serve business-to-business clients. We do have some consumer clients as well, but we serve people on a regional, national basis. We have some super regional bank as a client, and national carpet manufacturer.
What would be an example of something you do for people?
Well, our if you boil it down, we plan. We go through a phase we call intelligence, and then we go through a period of work called interpretation, where we take all that information from the planning phase and create a brand and how a customer should experience a company. And then the last thing we do, we call voice, and that is the actual advertising. The piece that everybody thinks of when they think of what an ad firm does.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we kind of have an expression that advertising, for us, boring is good. that we do rattle the cage of the urban legend of a slick, fast, funny ad agency, but what we do actually works, is practical. Most of our clients can point to a great success rate. Like this year, a law firm who charted their third or fourth year of 33-34% growth.
Well, and if you can market a law firm, you can do anything. Sean, what you were telling us about the advertising. You were explaining to us what advertising is. I think you were getting ready to talk to us about the difference between advertising and marketing.
Well, same. Really, advertising is that tool. It's where most people go. They see a business problem, and the first thing they think about is we'll throw a brochure up. We'll do an ad. They go call a local publication, whether it's the local consumer rag or a magazine or whatever they do, and they throw an ad in there. Usually get it designed pretty cheaply and have results that are less than exciting. So they decide that failed too. Marketing is really creating the desire for someone to buy a product. Advertising is a tool that generally creates awareness, may create some knowledge in the process, but typically creates just awareness.
And hopefully a call to action.
Absolutely. And your sales force is who closes and fulfills that desire for the product. So marketing creates the desire for the product, and sales fulfills that desire. Some advice I would give to the vast majority of small businesses is you'll see the principal, the owner of the company, is typically the sales guy, and he a lot of times handles the marketing or advertising too. Mm-hmm. Those two functions you've got to break apart. Marketing is a long-term vision goal. It deals with product development, market development.
It has to be patient and long-suffering, doesn't it?
Absolutely. But sales, what sales work for? Mm-hmm. Low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. They got to get paid this week. They're commission-driven.
Right. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care about 5 years. They've got to eat today. And their commissions are set up that way, and that's okay. But if you think about that, then, to have one person in charge of both areas is a disaster because you can't function both ways.
Well, let's look at reality, though, Sean. In a lot of small businesses, there's nobody else to turn to. So how do we wear both of those hats to the best of our ability?
I think you still got to break off one thing. Typically, I think the best thing to do is for a sales or for the principal, the owner, to release himself a little bit from the sales role, and he can become kind of what we always refer to it as the wise old geezer.
Mm-hmm.
You roll into the conference room, and you know, he just tries not to drool. But he's the closer. He's the nice guy, and then let a different person be the person who really goes after the money. And then he can take on that marketing role, but it pulls him out of the short-term driven focus. And typically the principal wants to have a longer focus anyway. So the sales role is the easiest one to first give up. Now, also for the entrepreneur, it's the scariest one to give up, mm-hmm. because nobody else can do it like I can.
That's right.
So that is a challenge, but I think it's critical.
Well, I'm glad I agree with what you're saying, and I'm glad you're saying that, because one of the things about marketing has to be more about vision and where we're going to be 3 to 5 years from now, as you said earlier, than is advertising, than is sales. And somebody's got to do that. Otherwise, what we're doing is we're going down, you know, 100 miles an hour down a one-way dead-end street, and you know that we you know in a fog and. Somebody's got to do that, and I agree with you. The owner, whoever is ultimately responsible, wherever the buck stops, that person has to be able to get in an orbit above the fray and look into the future. And that's where the marketing is, isn't it?
It won't change until then. The disadvantage of having an owner in that role is they're the most difficult person to get to spend any money. They are tight. I mean, because it's their cash.
That's right.
So they
know how hard it was to earn that.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So that is a problem with that.
Sean, I've got to stop you, because we've come to the end of our visit. But will you come back again and do this another day?
I would be pleased to.
We'll get you back real soon. Sean Doyle, ladies and gentlemen, a principal with Fitzmartin Marketing. Sean, Happy New Year.
You too.
Quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back with Joanna Brandy. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.